Babes, I got new cities on sale. Tiki Wikis for you at chrisdcomedy.com. We finally added Toronto. We got Tarrytown. We got Milwaukee. We got Madison, Wisconsin. We got Houston, Dallas, New Orleans. I mean, we're coming to places I've never come for, baby. New Jersey, Baltimore, Philly, we added a show. So go to chrisdcomedy.com. All the Tiki Wikis are on sale right now. Some of these sold out in the pre-sale, so hopefully we'll add a show, or you got to get the ticket soon. But go to chrisdcomedy.com, find your city. The UK should be coming soon. We should be putting it up, and New Year's Eve will be coming soon. Okay, so I'll be in Long Island New Year's Eve. All those tickets will be available at chrisdcomedy.com, but go get the tickets that are on sale now, baby. I love you.
Oh, they're so fun.
So fun.
Started at the Comedy Corner. He was there. I remember. It was the three of us.
Wow.
In Boston. No, not Boston. In fucking...
I remember. PJ's Comedy Corner.
Yeah. Bleecker and fucking...
Yeah.
McDougal.
Yeah, it was like two blocks down from the cellar. I kind of actually liked that. Mike Britt was the host.
Yeah, that was a great time.
Good old days.
But yeah, I remember Ronnie was one of the first people I saw there that stuck out in my brain.
Yeah.
I was like, who is this angry Asian guy just on stage?
He's funny.
Mad as fuck.
But he wasn't...
Speak of the devil.
Ronnie?
Yeah.
No, really?
Is this intro okay? This next comic I met in an open mic when I visited New York for the first time. He was super funny to me, which proves you should be nice to everyone because you never know when they're going to get their own gala.
Wait, what?
Literally, Ronnie Chang just texted me.
Yo, that is fucking creepy. Well, are the cameras on?
That's fucking
bizarre. Dude, that's
bizarre.
One of the weirdest things. If you didn't pick that up, we just were talking about Ronnie Chang and how the mess started open mics with the man at 4:05. And then at 4:05, he texted Nimesh, because I guess you're on his gala tonight.
Yeah, Sunday, yeah.
On Sunday, this next comic I met in an open mic when I visited New York for the first time, and he was super friendly to me, which proves you should be nice to everyone because you never know when they're going to get their own JFL gala and put you on. Please welcome the freewheeling Nimesh Patel.
What a hero.
Yo, that's fucking wild. Now you don't have to go to that show. You got the intro right there. Welcome to Christy Chaos. We got Nimesh Patel, everybody.
Oh, nice.
We're doing the Comics in Bed series here at Just for Laughs. And this is our first Indian.
Comfortable ass beds here.
Yeah, bro.
Fucking Hilton Hotel.
I mentioned you last night because I did Big J's storytelling show.
Oh yeah.
And you had Veer Das was on.
Uh-huh.
And then Jay Shanda Shakar.
Oh, the Indian guy from Super Troopers.
From Super Troopers.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then I came on last.
Oh good.
And I was like, I'm sorry, you know, there's not a third Indian. I was like, there was supposed to be, but I threw Nimesh Patel down a flight of stairs. and now I'm coming on. And somebody was like, I'm going to see Nimesh. I was like, of course you are, you white bitch.
Who said that? Someone?
Yes. I was like, are you a white woman? She was like, yes.
Amazing.
I was like, do you follow him on TikTok? She was like, yes.
my strength is strong here.
Yo,
in
you got
Montreal,
you got the white women on TikTok on lock.
I got the pool, baby.
Yo.
All ages of white women are coming out to see me.
Bro, you're one of those guys that... is making it without the gatekeeper.
Yes,
that's a beautiful thing.
Until I say something wrong in Chinese, and then who knows what's going to happen.
Just don't attack the Mexicans.
why? What have you done to the Mexicans?
I've talked about it for the last three podcasts. I was getting dragged.
Lo siento, por favor.
Pimple always tell me, please don't mention the Mexican controversial joke you made 3 weeks ago, and then I mention it every week.
He's like, do you bring it up right now?
He's doing an ad read for it. I'm doing a bit.
What did you say? No, I'm just kidding.
Bro, first of all, Nimesh and I have known each other since, I want to say, I'm gonna put a guess at 2010 is when you and I have known each other.
I mean, I started in 2009, so you did too, right?
I started in 2009, but I don't know, did we meet each other right away? So then we knew each other since 2009.
Yeah, since like the beginning almost. You might have been at one of the first open mics I went to.
I started August of 2009.
Same.
Wow. Look at that, dude.
August 19th, 2009 is when I started.
Look at that, man. We're the same
years.
Person.
13 years.
I love it, dude. It's
fucking amazing.
Look at that.
What's the craziest thing you can remember from like open mic stuff? Would anybody ever fight at open mics?
There was a...
Mike Lawrence got attacked at an open mic. Remember that? He got punched in the face by some random guy. and then he got... Mike Lawrence, who's a great comic. If you don't know him, go Mike Lawrence. This
monster,
was
Monster Rider.
Monster Rider. This was 2009, 2010. We were doing an open mic down in the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
And it was a summer day, and the windows were open. and people were walking by, but we were inside, and Mike Lawrence made a joke or something about a guy walking by, and the guy walked into the bar and punched him right in the face and broke his glasses over his eye. And I was in physical therapy school at the time, and I went into the CVS next door and got Band-Aids that patched his eye up.
Wow, I mean, what a nice guy you are.
Yeah, I know, but it was
that.
Like, just because, and Mike was like, thank you.
You did punch him in the face, though. That's how the Chris started comedy.
And then I yelled, fuck Mexico.
It's a great start to comedy.
So fucking, I remember that was like a fight that I remember where I was like, yo, this is crazy. But do you ever feel like this? And this is not, you know, we don't go too inside comedy on this because the audience just doesn't care. Mm-hmm. But I think this is like applies to like just life. Don't you feel like, or I ask you, do you feel like that sense of nostalgia in the beginning, like when we're just running around open mics and there was genuinely no pressure, nobody cared what we said, no, it was just right. about us. Do you ever wish that like you want to go back to those times, or are you happy where you're at now?
I think you could be both. I mean, I'm very happy that I'm in bed with you right now.
I know.
And that 13 years later, we're comfortable enough to be sitting in this bed
100%
together.
100%,
like
dude.
But
wait until the steam starts coming out of the vents and you go to sleep. That's when the real pod. Yeah, that's the Patreon app.
Pimp's got cameras for some other reason.
Yeah, the cameras go down and it just says patreon.com/ChrisDComedy.
Wait, why am I on the screen right now?
I did catch the maids in here earlier, and I'm like, I wonder
the
what
the maids were in here.
I wonder what they think I do in here.
Oh my god, you just got two cameras.
dudes coming in and out.
two $20,000 cameras. They definitely think you're making porn. I wonder if you get a knock on the door from the Montreal police.
And I feel like I dress like a porn director.
You do, man.
Honestly, dude, that would be
Basquiat
my first
ass shirt. Yeah, for sure, dude.
My guess is for you, genuinely, would be. Porn director, artist, or just adult with autism?
All of them.
I mean, you can be all three for sure.
By the way, shout out the Autism Army. We talk about them every week. We were watching a basketball game, or we were watching TV, and on NBC, like 3 o'clock, they have like these bullshit basketball leagues that they televise.
Uh-huh.
Now it's like not NBA sanctioned. It's like, you know, for charity. And one of the teams that was playing, their jersey said the Autism Army. And
that's fucking badass.
Pimp just thought it was funny.
What was the score?
Yo, they were getting worse.
But they just kept looking up like, yes.
They can't
go past four.
Yeah, yeah.
I miss like, the camaraderie that we all had when we started. I still think that exists, but it's like everyone now is so spread out and so busy doing everyone's own thing that it feels good when we come back to be like, oh yeah, like
yeah,
we started together, this is how it was.
Yeah.
But the shit I miss the most is the fact that like exactly what you said, that there is no sense of stakes when you start comedy.
Right.
You don't think I never thought I wouldn't make it, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That idea of like, what else am I gonna do? Doesn't creep into your brain.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh yeah, this is just what I'm doing right now. No end game. Luckily, there's no plan or path to follow necessarily. It's just like you just got to stay on this road and see where it kind of goes.
Yeah,
and
there's no
take
school.
What comes. Yeah, there's no 4 years here.
But the way you guys talk about it feels like when people talk about a relationship where they're like, I miss when I wasn't sick of you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that what happens is what you have to remind yourself of. And again, just talking about comedy, but you can apply this to whatever it is you're doing in your career or life, you know, listening at home, is you have to like remember like the steps you took to get you to where your goals are, and kind of constantly check in with yourself.
Yes.
And have like that moment of gratitude where you're like, if I would have told two years ago me I was here, that 2 year old me would be happy with my success.
God damn, look at you, mature ass man. We have matured as people.
Well, dude, we were having an Indian guy on, so we did a lot of yoga and meditation before the show. and we shit in holes outside the hotel.
No, come on, man.
Sorry.
Indians will be mad at that. Mexican feud is over. Indians.
Hasan Minhaj is my friend. He likes my post. Check it out.
Veerdas is out the door right now. He's real upset.
It was funny. Yesterday, we were in the green room of Cafe Cleopatra. Veerdas is so fucking funny, by the way. He told a wild story about he's being charged with sedition in India. Crazy shit. But I just, you know, we were sitting in the green room chilling, whatever, and I was just telling a story about how, and it went on too long. Like, this was not in the show. Like, this was in the green room for 5 minutes about how I had a tough time getting into England with my passport. And Vera was like, he's just waiting for finish. She goes, do you really think you have fucking immigration problems? He was like, you? He was like, motherfucker. And then he started telling us like legitimate stories of being like thrown in jails and airports for not having like the right paperwork on.
Well, yeah,
shit.
I mean, Veer's a wanted man across this, across the country. I mean, across India for sure. Like, people either love him or hate him, but he fucking says some wild shit.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. And in India, like, we think we have it bad here, like,
oh my god,
cancel culture and shit. Nah, we fucking fine. We do what the fuck they want.
Yeah, he told me, he was telling us it was like material, that like comedy material he was doing, like criticizing a leader in India. Like, we would criticize any political joke here, and they were going to put him in jail for that.
Yeah, if you say, if that's what I was asking him about the cell, I was like, he said you should go to India and do comedy. I'm like,
yeah,
but I say fuck Modi here, and people get mad. Like, here, and people on my YouTube, I get very fucking upset. And I was like, if I go there and say that shit, this is one big reason, like, I don't even think about setting up a tour there, is because I'm like, what if I say some shit and then the Indian cops come and put me in Indian jail? I'm like, I will not survive no fucking...
Have you been?
I gotta
to
think.
India?
I gotta been, think. There's an ungodly amount of cigarettes in an Indian jail.
Oh my god!
I feel like Indian guys love cigarettes.
But they're not currency, bro. These cigarettes are not worth trading. They're just tiny little like roaches, literal roaches rolled up and fucking smoked. And like, if India is, if Indian jail is anything like India, it's probably the fucking worst place on the planet, bro.
So,
like,
so,
I can't fucking fathom.
India, but this guy, India's, Modi.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the comic Modi.
We're talking... No, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
You'll
about...
See him, you could see him performing at local synagogues up on the East Coast.
Yeah, he's got a lock on every synagogue
in
India,
that guy makes
too.
So much money doing private gigs in with for Jewish
I don't
churches.
Fucking doubt
it's
it.
Fucking next level.
Yeah.
But Modi... So, Modi is the Prime Minister of India?
Narendra Modi is the Prime Minister of India, and he is like... And this is all from my very low level of research on the man. It's like,
yeah,
you know, he is very anti-Muslim.
Yeah, I just want to say you can, we have a, you know, you could say on this podcast, you could say things. I just wanted to say that, you know, I don't know if it's a shock to you, but we probably don't have a huge Indian. We have kind of an Indian. You're mostly talking to white men.
After this, after this, I mean, you're going
to
get a.
Mostly talking to white men and gay Puerto Rican women.
I mean, yeah. I mean, combined, that's a one Indian man. So
right,
it's.
I'm sorry. So he's anti-Muslim.
He's like anti-Muslim.
My fans are like, yeah, I like this guy.
he is like Trump's boy. Like, they were boys.
Really?
They were boys when he was in office, and it's because they have very similar mind. They're very nationalistic. They're like, India and the United States have a very strong exchange between people and ideas and all that kind of stuff. But he is a known like anti-Muslim slant, and he says a lot of things that are vitriolic, and he will not stand up if anti-Muslim violence happens. And that
fucked up.
That enough
is
for me to be like, I don't fuck with this dude. Because, you know, you got 1 billion people in India. If you can control 400 million people, that's the fucking – you could – destroy minds and lives and that kind of stuff in India, and he's making it a very like Hindu nationalistic place. And this is, again, me just saying this from just like very top level research. I'm sure if I dug a little deeper, I'd be even more accurate than that, you know, but like that enough for me is like, man, I can't fuck with this guy. And if I were to go to India, I couldn't not say this shit. And if I said all this shit, I would be concerned that, you know, I'm sure Veer's told you, like, outside of his shows, there have been cops waiting for him.
To arrest him,
like, say some shit about him, and that, you know, you have to like pay them off or whatever. I don't want that heat on me.
No,
you know what I mean. I don't know what the laws there are. I know they lock up Indian comedians for saying wild shit.
Well, that's what I was gonna ask you. If you know, a white comedian went over there, or not even a wild black comedian, a non-Indian comedian went over there, and they said some stuff, you know, joking about India, is that? Would they put them in jail too?
I have no idea what they can't do.
Yeah.
I'm sure as Americans, we could just get the fuck out of
here.
Yeah. But And we're not going to have a fucking Brittany Griner situation. You know what I mean?
No, with that she's getting out now.
Yeah, thank
they
God.
Traded her. They traded her for a Russian arms deal. For Nicolas, think it's a good trade?
They should send Nicolas Cage over instead. Because that's the guy he played in, like, Lords of War. Is it,
the
is,
guy
oh,
who
really?
Yeah, yeah. That's the guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. It'd be so funny if, like, just immediately within weeks, there's just guns, like, all through Bergen Beach and Bath Beach, all the Russian neighborhoods, and Brooklyn people getting shot up.
Now, but Brittany Griner's going to play.
Like, in India, when you're walking around, like, what's the craziest part of the lifestyle?
Well, I went in 2013. Okay. So I'm sure it's gotten better for whatever reason.
Let me ask you this. In 2013,
yes.
I understand the career wasn't at the point where it's at now, but were you at, do you have anything out there in public kind of
nothing
shitting on India or making jokes about India, I meant to say, in any way?
I don't think there was anything like the environment of comedy that's going on. Stand-up in India is, like, brand new.
It is the second week. Brian Morton, who we just saw outside, who runs New York Comedy Club, is telling us that it is a statistical fact the second biggest stand-up comedy market outside the United States is India.
I don't doubt it. I mean, there's a billion fucking people there, and it's such a new and very low investment art form that you find a stage and people are just like, yes, like, we Indians love talking shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, some of the best storytellers are Indian.
They don't really get offended either. I noticed in stand up.
No, they don't. I think they like the kind of what's it called? Release that it provides, because we're such a reserved people normally that we can just say, when you hear someone say some wild shit, it's like, oh, that's fucking great. You know?
If I was Indian, I think there'd be a part of me that would be, like, embarrassed on how successful my people are in this country. Like, I would feel bad about it.
Why?
Because you guys are just in the top of the class constantly.
Well,
you're just number one in everything when it comes to academics, and you probably make the most money of any
class. We shout out to the Indians. We do make the most money. But also, you know, let's not discount all the poor motherfuckers that live in Jackson Heights and all these Queens.
Yeah. No, you guys take me to the airport. I appreciate that.
It's because they live right near it, you know? But it's...
Yeah, they take me on their pegs.
You've never been on a rickshaw before, man. I think you on a rickshaw would make me fucking very happy.
No,
actually,
we're gonna do an episode live from India on the back of a fucking rickshaw.
Holy shit.
That would be fucking sick as shit. But but I don't think what's it? You asked, like, if you were to go as a white American in India, would you get in trouble? And when I went in 2013, there was no sense of what was coming from the stand-up perspective and from, like, how the government was going to fucking clamp down and, like, destroy
people. Was Modi
it.
Already in charge at
that time? No, Modi was not president. I don't know who the president was. But I remember when I went in 2013, I was in Mumbai.
It was Godfrey.
You thought Modi was bad. No, I was there in 2013, Mumbai, and Russell Peters was there. And I texted him, like, yo, I want to come through the show. He was like, yeah, come through. And then I realized, A, I couldn't make it because it was, like, on the other side of Mumbai, and I didn't want to go alone. And B, it was like a 30,000 seat place he was going to play. Just a casual.
Like an arena.
Yeah, like just a casual Sunday, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go drop in and do fucking 30,000 people.
Easy work.
And, I mean, that's what Veer does now, too. Like, Veer
does the arenas in India.
Veer does, I don't know, if his first special, like, he did, like, it was like 600 people here or something. It's like the intercut between India and here. Here it's like 600 people. There it's like 10,000.
Well, I think even here now, Veer did big rooms here in Montreal. I think he can sell out big rooms in America now and everything.
Veer's got a huge expat draw. Like, there's so many Indians that love it. You know what's crazy? Is that, like, just like 5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, my cousins and I were hanging out, like, at one of my cousins' houses. And one of my cousins was younger, 17, 18 years old. Like, he swims over to me. He's like, hey, man. You know Veer Das? I'm like, you know Veer Das? I'm like, how the fuck do you know Veer Das, bro? I'm like, I didn't really know him at the time. I was like, how the fuck do you know him? Veer is huge, all that to say.
Yeah.
But, like, when I went in 2013, I didn't go for stand-up. I went with my family, and I had no sense of what the stand-up scene was or anything like that, and I didn't think about, let me try to get on stage somewhere. But now I know I got a huge Indian fan base. In India, people hit me up, like, please come to India. Like, do a tour. I want to hear you talk
shit. But you don't want to go over there.
I'm a little afraid to go over there right now, but I think, like, if I were to set it up properly, have security and all that kind of stuff, I would definitely go
you
make
would do it. If you can't make it, just do the show in Jackson Heights.
Shoot it the same. People want no fucking idea.
But stand-up aside, like, I meant, like, sketchy. Is it sketchy?
No, I mean, look, as a 6-foot-tall male, like, very few places are sketchy, but... when I went, like, my sister and my mom were not allowed to go out alone. Mm-hmm. Like they always had, like, my uncle or somebody with them. And after, like, after dark, they're like...
And would your uncle have that thing on him, too?
I never knew if he had a gun or anything like that. But he was definitely, like, no one's going out. In Delhi, I remember specifically, like, my sister and mom want to go outside and, like, take a walk and stuff. And my uncle was like, nah, you can't go outside right now. Because it's just, like... It was, I don't know if you remember all the date rape shit or the gang rape
like
shit happening.
Packs of men going and then getting away with it.
Yeah,
and
just like.
What? What is it? What is
packs
that?
Packs of men were like going around India or certain places and like raping women and killing them and getting away with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. There was like a white a tourist that they got arrested.
Oh,
but
okay.
It made a huge deal. It was like a white tourist from, I forget, some European freewheeling country that like lets white women just travel solo. She got gang raped on a bus or something, and it was such a wild international story.
Yeah.
And at that time, that
she was taking the rickshaw.
Yeah, at least it would have just been one dude.
I asked you if it was sketchy.
No, but I said as a man, no. It's very few places are. But at the time, that was in the ether. Like that was in the air. Like oh shit, God. And it always felt like. At least when I was walking my sister, my mom, my dad, like I was always like a sentry, just like looking out, making sure no, because India's again 2013 when I went, hyper dense, like there's people fucking everywhere. I remember walking in Mumbai, like running into people, like yo, get the fuck out the way, like stop moving. It's like Times Square constantly, and so what you would hear about is like tourists like getting groped and all this kind of stuff, and I will not allow anyone even remotely near. My sister and my mom. Right. Luckily, nothing happened, obviously, you know, and I think the majority, 99% of the story, if India was just a grope fest, like, I'm sure I would be there, like, you know.
All these Indian it's hands just, are groping, and then just one white hand with a Fitbit. Yeah. It's just me.
It's just in the culture, you guys. It's just in the culture. It's not a trip to India unless you get accosted.
Well, let me tell you something. India is a place, A, that I really, really hope to see in my life. I feel like
we should go.
I feel like it, being, you know, us having time on this planet, you should go to India. You should go see these like ancient civilizations that have been around for thousands and thousands of years.
And, you know, I'll say two things about it. One, yes, the fucking we only went to the Taj Mahal, I think, and we probably went to like one other temple as like we've got to see this iconic historical, and Taj Mahal is like breathtaking. You're there just like...
I've been to it in Atlantic City.
That Taj Mahal is breathtaking because of cigarette smoke. This is breathtaking.
Shout out Donnie T.
this is breathtaking because of pollution, but also because it's fucking... It's so big. Like, the pictures don't do it justice about how detailed it is. There's fucking jewels everywhere, and you're like, so many slaves died making this thing.
Fuck.
So many people died making this shit because it was made by a king for his wife as like a tomb.
And they just worked him to death.
Yeah, he's just like, all right, we'll inlay these perfect, beautiful gems. It's fucking so ornate. And that is amazing. But what the bigger takeaway was how free everybody is. Like, everyone's just...
Interesting.
Like, I remember just... I've never seen my dad happier. Because there's, like, a culture of, like, everyone's doors open. Everyone's, like, not really... Everyone's working, but not working. Like, you could just go hang out, pop into your friend's place, hang out, have some tea, chill out during the day, ride bikes everywhere, like, talk and bullshit. It's, like, such a free and loving culture. Like, the people just felt so welcoming and nice. And everyone knows when you're talking to them, like, everyone knows this person wants something from me and I want something from them. We're just having, like, strangers just talking, like, hey, brother, how's it going? Like, it felt like one giant neighborhood, and I'll never forget that. Like, as like a very, so different than America.
Yeah.
Everything here feels so isolationist as a person. Like, it's such a weird individualistic society.
Yeah.
In the States, whereas in India, it just felt so communal and loving.
Well, I think that's what I mean. Like, these ancient cultures, like, they've been like people that have been around for a long time. They know like what's important and what's not. They understand that like communication and all that is like. You know, connecting with an individual is like currency more than money. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I, one of my friends who was worked a lot, Dominican guy, he went to.
You don't have to say that. I assumed he was Dominican. Worked a lot.
Yes. He was a dentist.
Oh,
that's what he says. Well, that's what he says to the government. but anyway, he was saying that the one thing he noticed going, he went to India. He would have to go like three times a year, I think, to Mumbai. And he said that.
What was he moving?
I know.
He's buying teeth in India.
Bro.
They're a lot cheaper there.
And he was saying that the one thing he noticed was that most people, A, he said when you're sitting and speaking to someone in India, they almost never are like texting or trying to post something while talking. They're giving you their full attention.
Right.
And he said when you're at a restaurant, nobody has their phones on the table. Uh-huh. Everybody is engaged. More people, certainly more people engaged there than in America.
I'll tell you, they did ban TikTok in India.
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. I have no idea how.
Is this new news?
No. They banned it like almost when I first got on it.
Oh, okay, so you're killing it. That's good.
So I got no Indian fans from TikTok now. But all that speaking to the fact that, like, yeah, I think like I highly doubt it's just as focused now as it was then, because I think Indians and social media are like, I mean, we invented most of the shit, yeah, so they're probably like locked in like crazy.
Yeah.
But when I went 2013, it wasn't this fucking obsession with like what's going on my phone, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. I did Hasan Minhaj's did like a small like Spotify podcast like specifically about the NBA playoffs, and I was on for 12 minutes with him, and he goes, you know, we're talking whatever and making jokes, blah blah blah, and then he goes, listen, man. He goes, you know, Chris saying all these nice things, whatever. He goes, all my Indian fans. He goes, go right now to go ChristyComedy.com and then go to these dates. And he goes, I'm saying whatever he said, because I was calling myself Chrissy Calcutta. And so they're like, yo, my boy. He goes, I promise you, he fucks with Indians, bro. All of a sudden, like 20 minutes later, Emilio calls me because he's like on. He gets a ticket. When people buy tickets, they like go right to his phone.
Right.
He goes, bro, you just sold out like two shows. Because, you know, you like right away, like out of nowhere. Like where the fuck was I? Orange County Improv, whatever that Orange.
Oh, yeah, he's got a huge
Irvine, Irvine Improv. And it was just like, boom, like right away. And I was like, that was Hasan.
Yeah.
And I was like, because even if just 200 Indian people, that's fucking enough to sell out a show.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I was like, yo, right away. This like galvanized, like this, because it is one of those things where like, listen, man, here's the truth. Here's the tough conversations to have. We always talk about racism and all that. It's not racism, it's tribalism.
Yeah.
Every tribe, no matter what we look like, from Indians to whites to blacks to Asian, it's subconsciously. It doesn't mean I don't like that other race at all. There's no hatred. It's just there's a thing in us for protection. It's a protective mechanism going back millions of years in our primal DNA to be like, I want to be with my tribe. I fuck with my tribe because I'm safe that way.
The hormones are the same. The pheromones are the same. Our hair looks the same. You know, it kinks the same. That's why we got to stick together and maybe we'll sell out shows.
Now, let me ask you a question. if you watch me, you know what shirt I love, and it's the shirts by the Roosevelts. I wear these button downs all day. I wore them on the Joe Rogan show. If you see me in public or anywhere, I'm probably wearing something from the Roosevelts on my body. The shirts are awesome. They're stretchy. They're comfortable, and they are fresh as fuck. Do you know what the shirts are, the Roosevelt shirts?
I don't.
Okay, they're like these button down. I have the short sleeve button down ones, and they have all different patterns on them. And one of them has all the presidents on it.
Can I make it a crop top?
100% you can make it a crop top. The Roosevelts do whatever the hell you want. They're very gay friendly. They're just very friendly. I wear a lot of
they're friendly.
Roosevelts, what I like about them is they have all their items. They have these licensed items like Star Wars, Marvel, DC, Nickelodeon. They have all different types of patterns. I'm telling you, they are absolutely my favorite shirts. Just Google me, Google any appearance I've been on, and if somebody asked me to like dress nicer, I just put on a Roosevelt shirt. That's what it is. I have one of them. I have one of the shirts has you know, like, you know, DaBears, the SNL sketch, DaBears.
Of course I know DaBears.
DaBears, they have a DaBears shirt, and I wear a DaBears shirt a lot. And they also kind of make you look jacked because they get tight on your arms. So you can kind of like.
I'm in.
Yeah. So check out the Roosevelt shirts. What you got to do is go to Roosevelt's, RSVLTS.com/ChrissyChaos. Use the code ChrissyChaos at checkout, 20% off your first order. That is RSVLTS.com/ChrissyChaos, code ChrissyChaos, 20% off your first order. I promise you, you're going to love these shirts. Send me a picky wiki in your shirt. Listen, if you got kids like me, okay, if you have 85 kids like me and you're looking for things to do with your children and you want them to get off the tablet, you want them to get off the device, and you just want them to do something constructive, Kiwico is the place for you. What they do is they send in boxes, they send little projects to your door every month that you can do with your children. We made headphones with the kids. We did underwater volcanoes. We made like a little boat project. And they're literally, at least for those that hour or so that you're doing something with them, they're not on their device and you're bonding with them, you're engaging with them. And then for me, who doesn't know how to build anything, it's fun to get some confidence also back in my life when I just learn how to build, when I can build a pair of headphones quicker than an 11-year-old and just shove it in his face. So if I'm telling you, and even if you don't have kids, if you just want to bond with someone and get off a device, go to Kiwico, and we're giving you a good discount here on the Chrissy Chaos podcast, because listen, you want your kids to learn new skills, build new experiences, make new connections to the broader world. Kiwico does that in a great way. High quality materials, real engineering, science, art projects designed to make learning incredibly fun for children of all ages. And I want to say adults, because I'm having a good time doing it. So if you go to Kiwico, that's KIWICO.com, and put in the promo code chaos, you are going to get 50% off your first month, okay? 50% off your first month at KIWICO.com. Promo code chaos, any crate line you want, 50% off your month, plus free shipping on any crate line with code chaos at Kiwico.com. Do it. Have fun with your kids, you pieces of shit. Also, here's a fun fact about Nimesh Patel. I don't know who's killing it harder than you. I don't know anybody with one nut who's killing it harder than you.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Reveal. If I look real comfortable on this in this position, it's because I'm a ball short right here.
Bro, Nimesh and I were at Radio City Music Hall watching Hassan on the shows with Hassan, and casually we're getting into the elevator. And Nimesh just mentioned that he got a nut removed like 2 weeks before that because he had testicular cancer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh,
how crazy. That's wild, right?
I didn't know that at all.
Is that cool to talk about? Or?
Yeah, I'm talking about it all on tour right now. Go buy tickets at findingnimesh.com.
Yeah, because this isn't live. This is live anyway. It's live streaming.
Is it really?
No, we would edit anything out.
Does it feel any different?
Yeah. What was that like?
It was my birthday night.
Shit.
Literally, my
God loves you.
God does love me, man.
For real.
First special. I was talking to somebody else about this the other day. I was like, my first special is called "Thank You China." This one will be called "Thank You God" for
Thank
sure.
You, God. Yeah, your testicular cancer and your birthday was a gift from Modi.
Yo, for real, like. Because I felt pain in my balls on my birthday night.
Right.
And I went to the hospital and
Hold on, I mean to cut you off, but like pain in you have to understand, pain in your balls, all the guys right now are like, oh, I feel pain in my balls. Like, we feel pain in our balls.
Yes.
But significant enough to take you to the hospital was what?
It was, I had, you have had a hernia before?
No.
Okay, so hernia pain is like super sharp, and it's like almost debilitating, where it's like, oh, fuck, for like a half a second you feel it. And then so... Throughout the week, maybe, I had felt a little bit, and I had been working out quite a bit because I was like, I'm going back on the road. I want to be in shape. And the first time I had a hernia was like 2016, and I knew I had a hernia because I was working out like crazy. I did a back row a bit too heavy. I felt something weird. 2 hours later, I'm taking a shit. I feel like a crazy pain in my balls. Go to the night emergency room. The city MD had a Dominican lady feel my balls up.
That was my friend.
I gotta go to Mumbai. No. And she goes, you have a hernia. So fast forward 6 years later, I'm taking a piss like on my birthday night. I'm like, fuck, did I re-aggravate my hernia? This shit hurts. Like, and I was like, well, throughout the week, I was like, man, I'll just wait, because a hernia, you could just like hold back in and like wait to get surgery. Yeah. It's not like going to kill you if it's going to kill you, you're going to know. I go to the hospital. So I was like, let me just wait. And then my birthday, I'm taking a piss. I'm like, fuck, this doesn't feel right. Like, there's something wrong here, because it didn't feel like no one had nut tapped me. I didn't like have any trauma or anything. The doctor was like, did anything happen to your balls like that wouldn't have caused you to have pain? I was like, no, nothing happened. You know, my wife squeezed them a little hard, but nothing like pain.
Kama Sutra shit.
Yeah. So I go to the hospital, and they're like, you know, the ultrasound and shit. They found a mass in my testicle. I'm like, all right. You know, don't think anything of it. They do blood work, and that's when I find out.
This is all in the same hours of time. Like,
I went from pain in my balls.
At what time?
Thursday, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
To surgery on Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
Four or five days later, I found out on a Thursday was pain. Sunday, I get a phone call in the morning. Hey, it's cancer. So.
What was that? When they said, "Hey, you have cancer," what was the blunt? Like, was it blunt? Was it like cancer, but it's going
to
be okay?
Yeah, no. Let me answer a question. Second, finish this thing, and this is for all the men at home and the gay Puerto Rican women who touch balls all the time.
Biological born men. That's what we want to specify.
Is that this is why I say thank God is because the doctor told me, he was like, you got very lucky because the cancer, testicular cancer, doesn't present with pain.
Wow.
It presents as a heaviness. Like, because most people have, like, a growth and that your balls feel a little heavier. And most dudes ignore it because they just feel, like.
Girl, I got these heavy nuts.
Exactly. Like, just jerk me off, baby. No, so it just felt like pain. And the doctor, I initially talked to him, when I got the ultrasound result, he said it's a benign cyst, and I was like, "So what then caused the pain?" He's like, "It's most likely a varicose seal, which is when there's like a tube around your balls that gets like could get inflamed from an infection or something." He's like, "That just takes some medicine, you'll be fine." And then I get blood work done Sunday. I get the blood work back, and now to answer your question, he calls me at 7:45. He's like, "Hey man, listen, I know it says it's a benign cyst, but your hormone markers came back elevated, and it's human growth hormone. This hormone marker indicates that you have testicular cancer. Like, no dudes are there's human growth hormone is not supposed to be present in dudes who don't take steroids or anything like that. It's only present in pregnant women, so or people have cancer. It's cancer right. That the human growth hormone causes this outgrowth of these cells, which is cancer." I'm like, "Oh fuck, okay." He's like, "Well, the procedure is, don't worry, this happens to everybody. Procedure is you got to have your testicle removed." That hurt more than hearing that I had cancer.
Wow.
Because I was like, I got to get surgery and have my nut removed. Yeah. God damn. And then, you know, my wife and I were thinking about kids and all this shit. And like, so all that starts going through my brain.
Of course.
And the doctor's like, "No, like this will have very little impact on your ability to have children. Like this, like," and I do a joke about this. And that is that the miracle of the human body is such that if one is removed, the remaining ball will pick up the slack and do the work of like two balls.
Yeah.
It's like a single mom, you know. It's just like that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I told that to the doctor, and he laughed. I was like, "Oh, so that I know that's a good joke." I look back at that time, and there was a very fast, again, like time frame. Thursday night. I go to the hospital. 3 o'clock in the morning, I get the ultrasound. I'm done. Go back home. Tuesday morning, I'm, you know, knocked out. They got my ball removed. So, like, I never even had, like, a real moment of, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I can't believe this shit is happening. It was so fast, and I knew that literally everyone around me, my wife, my mom, my sister, my dad, like, and my family, they get very tense.
Sure.
And I was just like, I got to be the even keeled person here. Like, I just got, you know, I've been praying and doing my Indian meditation all the time.
Yeah.
And this is when you need it. This is when you got to be like, all right, this is like, I got to stay even keeled throughout this entire situation. Because if I start panicking, freaking out, like everyone around
me. Yeah.
So I was
the
like,
leader, yeah.
I got to be like, all right, it's going to be fine. Like, it is what it is. It is what it is. I can't do anything about it.
Right.
I got very lucky that we caught it very early.
And it was stage one and everything.
It was like the doctor said, if you were going to have cancer, this is almost the best cancer you can have.
Like, cancer probably just presented, like, the day before.
Yeah, it was, like weeks, like, that it would happen. And, like, most people just ignore it and just let that shit grow. And then what happens, it might break off to the lymph nodes. And then you have, then it becomes, like, stage one or stage two. Like, if it goes
to metastasizes, yeah.
And so the doctor said, you got very lucky. Good thing you listen to your body. Like the luckiest person on the planet.
It's a good thing you do Kegels.
Yeah.
And you're in touch with your nuts.
Exactly. Good thing you find it yourself.
So
all
do
the
they
time.
Give you your nut? What'd you do with it?
No. Yeah, I honestly asked if I could keep it. And they're like, no, we gotta cut it up and do pathology and all that
you
shit.
You wear it like the fucking passes at my
yeah,
Montreal.
It's like, this is a reminder.
What'd you lose, the left or the right?
Right one.
Okay. Nice, the Republican.
Yeah. They got rid of that shit.
Did you, so.
They put a fake one in. by the way. So,
oh, wow. You got a fake nut in?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. Oh. A prosthetic nut? You don't hear about that a lot.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I don't have a bit about this. It's just funny to me. The doctor's just... That was like, yeah, I hooked you up.
Like, give me a hookup ball.
Did he tell you he was going to give you a fake nut?
No, he didn't tell me.
That's awesome. He's like, yo, it's a rise and rise.
And I'm like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, man, like, don't worry, I got you. And I was like, why'd you make it so big?
Oh, is it noted? Like, when you're naked, you got a fucking huge nut?
It's definitely bigger than the left one is normally. Like, if the left one swells up when I'm horny or whatever, it's like fine. Like, they match up on the reg. It's like... It's like maybe 10-20% bigger. I'm like, this is fucking crazy.
Would you and your wife like laugh? Like, would she touch it and like laugh? Like, this is weird.
Yeah, no.
That's
fucking
hilarious. Just bonding over your fake nut.
Yeah, it's like, can I feel it? I'm like, yeah, of course you can feel it.
Can I feel it?
It feels like you ever had like a lychee candy? With like the what's it called? Like a hard core. It's like gel on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
You suck it out of a cup.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that hard part is. What it feels like.
Oh my god.
It's made out of silicone. You know what I mean? It's fucking. It's crazy.
And it doesn't impact your chances to have children with your wife at all.
Not at all.
Great. So you could just fucking splooge in right now.
Yeah. Well, of course, if we wanted to go at it, we could make it happen.
Oh, so how long did you wait? Six months? 6 weeks?
To what?
To have sex again.
Oh, I mean, the doctor said, I think you wait like a week or two and you'd be straight. This is fucking wild, is that literally it's like you're back to normal behavior the same day or next day. Like, I rested the first day, but the next day, like, you can't like bounce around and like go work out or anything like that. But right. Like, I went to, we had reservations at the Maka, which is the best Indian restaurant in New York City.
The Maka, where is it located?
Essex Market in the Lower East Side.
All right.
You got to check
it
out.
Write it down.
Yeah, it's fucking delicious. We want to go. You want to go?
100% I want to go.
It's fucking the best Indian restaurant. Yep. Shout out to Chintan Pandya, the chef.
Love your work.
What's it called? We had reservations the next day. Me and my NYU friends, we had reservations the next day. And it's like almost impossible to get reservations for the time we got and for six people. 6 p.m., six people is like damn near impossible to get. Like, someone dropped out. So I was like, well, we got to go. And I asked the doctor, I was like, can I go eat food after this? Like, can I walk around? He's like, yeah, you'll be 100% fine. Just carry your ice pack. I was like, all right, I got to buy sweatpants. And then I asked my wife to go to the pharmacy and get like the ice packs you can like tape on for like your knee and shit.
Yeah.
So I had a fucking ice pack and I was like hobbled to fucking the Maka, bro.
Walking around in gray sweats, you probably thought your kids thought you had a fucking package. Yeah. They're like, this guy's got an elephant trunk in his pants.
No, I had just a giant ice pack. I was cool as shit. And they had this new, I don't know if it's new, but they have this anesthesia that's local, and they use it so that if they do surgery, minor surgery like that I had, it's minor surgery, that you don't need opioids because they just inject it, and it's like lidocaine in fat solution. And so it dissolves over the first 5 days, and so that all, like, you know, the majority of the pain that you get from surgery happens over the first 5 days.
Okay.
So in the first 5 days, you don't feel any pain. All you got to do is like Advil, Tylenol, just in case anything pops up. But it keeps the pain for the first 5 days, like not feeling. I couldn't feel the right side of my balls and like this entire area for five. I could do whatever the fuck I wanted.
<That's awesome.
laughs> I couldn't feel shit. It was just cold.
Use it like a speed bag.
Yeah. Exactly. It was. That was the funniest part to me.
So crazy. And how much did they charge you to remove your nut?
So thank God I have insurance as well.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah. Thank you. My Writers Guild shit was set to expired actually. Expires technically on Monday, but now I'm doing Cobra or whatever, so I can be on
You're
it.
You doing Colbert?
Cobra.
Oh, Cobra. Oh, Cobra Health Insurance.
Yeah. So I
know we're such like Jada fucks. I'm like Cobra Kai. What's your?
No. The fucking Obamacare extension of my health insurance.
Oh, nice.
Luckily, you know, and I'm paying out the ass for it, but obviously now it's
whatever,
worth
dude,
it.
Yeah.
But when the doctor, like, you know, before I could get surgery, we were talking about like how much all this is going to cost, and they sent me a form, and like, oh, this is just you know, just sign this form. It just says how much everything's going to cost. Obviously, you're just going to bill your insurance. Like, this is not going to come to you. And I look at the fucking bill. I'm like, what the fuck is charging $46,000? $46,000.
Real money out there, man.
$46,000. He got paid $26,000.
Mike Berkowitz is his agent.
That's how you got that killer fucking deal, man. For a half hour, $46,000. Like, God damn, bro. He got paid 26 on the 40. Like, you know, like that's how these companies, how this all this shit works. Yeah. Like you doctor's like, I want to make this much, and the insurance company's like, no, you're gonna take this much, and they're like, yeah. Oh, okay, fine. You know, they overshoot. Yeah. But yeah, it's like $46,000 what he wanted. Then NYU cost me build my insurance 10 G's. It was 5 G's to walk in, 1,800 for the ultrasound, and then like, you know, a couple thousand for the labs and all that kind of shit. But it was hour and a half, $10,000.
Jesus Christ.
It's, Thank God for insurance. Thank Jesus. God for insurance.
Yeah, that doctor makes money like Piff the Magic Dragon.
He was telling me. He's got a residency in Vegas. Who wants a nut out right now?
Damn, bro. That's fucking.
He was telling me. He's a funny dude. I don't want to say his name because I haven't asked him if I could or not. But
he's probably on the Patreon.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. He's a funny guy. Funny in like a weird way as ball doctors must be. But he's telling me he had courtside seats. He got invited to have courtside seats at the Nets game. He's not a Knicks guy yet, but he was at the Nets game, and his wife is sitting next to him, and on his other side, his wife's here. To the left of his wife is him. To the right of his wife is this guy that she doesn't recognize. Is Derek Jeter?
Oh shit! The captain.
Yeah, and so he's like, "Let me switch seats," and the doctor's like, oh, so you're a ball player? And Jeter's like, yeah. It's like, the doctor's like, yeah, I'm a ball player too.
Yo, that's a good joke.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, nice, man, nice. You got some chops, bro.
Did Jeter laugh at that?
No, I have no idea. I'm sure he did. Jeter seemed like the nicest person on the planet.
Yeah, he just ruined the Marlins.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. So that was Nimesh's nut story. So I'm happy that Nimesh can have children because, I mean, we sometimes like to talk about serial killers. And
we
found that the youngest serial killer in the world is actually an 8-year-old boy from Bihar, India. His name is Amarjeet Sadha. Do we know who this kid is?
I never even heard of this guy.
Okay, bro, this kid, he lived in Musahar, which is in Bihar, India. Shout out Bihar.
Uh-huh.
Got some thick girls over there. Got some thickies.
I've been wondering why this guy's been staring at me this whole time.
I know, like, this kid. Bro. That
Modi's going to send him at me, man. I can feel it.
That's a cancer nut. Give spur to that.
had I just came and not known I had cancer, this is what it would be.
He would have given birth to Amarjeet Sadha, who's believed to have murdered 3 people, including family members, by the time he was 8 years old.
Holy shit.
In separate incidents. He even killed his own baby sister when she was 8 months old.
Oh,
murdered
no.
Murdered his 6-year-old cousin.
Oh,
His last victim was a 6-month-old baby girl called Kushbu who lived in the neighborhood.
Holy
and after being
shit.
Questioned, Amarjeet showed no remorse and told the villagers about how he strangled the child to death and led him to a shallow grave where she was buried. Excitedly, he told them, "Kapta de mar marke sura delie." Is that good? Which translates to, "I killed her by beating her from a brick."
Jesus fucking Christ, fucking bro.
So, I mean, what the hell is going on in India?
Hey, man, you get 1 billion people out there, man.
Yeah.
The bad shit's going to happen. It's
somebody's
going to
fuck up.
It's a giant Petri dish, man.
I know.
If anything, this dude is just doing some population
control.
But an
8-year-old serial killer, I mean, that's young in the game.
When did he start killing animals? Like 2? Like,
I know.
They started just, birds and shit?
I know. I feel like he was probably like stabbing his mother's organs in utero. Just fucking.
Oh, my.
He
killed. This is in addition to the 3 people he killed?
Yes, killed that. And then he also killed his 6-year-old cousin, his own baby sister who was 8 months old, and a 6-month-old baby girl who lived in the neighborhood.
Oh,
I mean, well, first of all, my question is, who's just leaving their 6-month-old out in the neighborhood?
But what I'm saying, that's how beautiful India is, that people just toss their babies around.
That's how free it is. You can just pick up a baby.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, okay.
You can rent it like a city bike.
I watched a video on this guy, and like a lot of the people he killed, the parents just didn't report anyone missing.
Why?
Because they said it was a family business.
That's no. I mean, yeah. I mean, it sounds like a very small village where the guy obviously didn't have any other weapons. A brick is like such an amateur move.
Jesus, yeah. Bad form.
Bad form, dude.
What the fuck?
I mean, that made. How many did he actually kill? What's the total count?
I think. Well, it says. It says he youngest serial killer. He killed murdered 3 people. Yeah. So it was 3.
Just
in total.
3. Is that cereal?
Did he go to jail for that or what?
Is that cereal?
Anything over 2 is cereal.
Oh, really?
Anything over 2. You kill 3 and anything over 1 is a mass shooting. No.
Oh, really?
So that's why when you see another mass shooting, like, obviously it sucks that people die, but don't think it's like...
Yeah, give the real mass shooting some credit.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly. Yeah. Don't, you know what I mean? Don't sleep on some of these motherfuckers.
I'm glad we hold the record for youngest serial killer. Good for us,
bro. That's a positive thing.
Dominating every game, man.
First female Tour de France devolves into chaos after massive pileup. Going back to this is why women are bad drivers. So this is so what happened here, Pimp? Do we have the video of this?
There's one abortion being given away on the ground.
They're like, they're yelling, "Fuck you, Roe v. Wade." Let's see what happens here. I mean, the Tour de France is fucking wild, dude. I mean, the course, man, when how steep up a mountain they go at the end of the course. Oh, shit.
Oh, wow. That is a massive pileup.
They're just scissoring.
Bitch.
one of them got horny.
Is Kirsten navigating this whole thing? Where's she at?
Yeah.
She's at the bottom of the pile.
Bro,
no,
keep it going. This is crazy that this is the first one.
This is the first Tour de France?
The first female Tour de France
ever.
There's
definitely every French dude.
There's
just
people
like,
on the sidelines being like, "Yo, bring back Lance Armstrong." I'm
right here, guys.
Yeah. Oh, bro, you are the Indian Lance Armstrong.
I'm the Indian Lance Armstrong right now, bro.
I didn't even think about that.
I'm going to be on steroids immediately. I want to take steroids now.
Bro, you should.
I mean, I can't make my right nut shrink. You know?
I know. That your body was trying to make steroids for you. They're like, "Yo, bro, get on this HGH." Yeah,
I really was wondering why I was getting so jacked.
Shakira is facing trial on tax fraud charges. Now, this is interesting. These people, you know, it's the media will like attack Shakira. Here's the truth, man.
Uh-huh.
Money like that coming in like that, I guarantee you she just passed off to accounts she's trusted for years and they steal your shit.
Right.
And you have no fucking idea what's going on, but the government will come after you. So that's why, like, you gotta know your taxes. You got to know what's coming in and out.
She's facing 14 years.
14 years.
What do you think is going to happen to her in prison?
She's still going to look great. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Oh,
look at this woman. 45. Oh, my God.
Imagine she starts leading a gang.
They just dance their way to freedom.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm reading this a little bit. Actually, I take back what I said. She was charged with 4 counts of tax fraud, and prosecutors alleged her
No, you're right.
Oh, her consultants created a web of companies to hide income from Spain. There has to be some type of, like... Because the thing is like, it's very difficult to understand taxes. I don't fucking know what's going
on. I make like $12, and I'm just like, and my accounts are like, this is what has to happen. I'm like, all right, sure, if you say that.
Yeah, my account will always tell me the same thing, because like in comedy, you know, what we get paid like in full. Like if it's a, you know, gig for $1,000, you get a check for $1,000.
Right.
You don't get the taxes taken out like a normal job. But so my account
feels so good when I get that check from like a theater. I'm like, and then I remember, it's like a third of it.
Yeah, 10% to your manager, 10% to your agent, and then the government.
Yeah.
So my account's like loose rule is he's like, where, you know, the money you have in your bank account, just cut it in half. Just mentally say, I have half that. And I never do that. I'm always like, I got all this shit.
I'm staying at the Four Seasons, y'all.
Motherfucker. And my account at the end of the year. Dude, the amount of money I lose every December is just like, it's one of those things where I'm like, I actually ask my accountant every December, I'm like, are you stealing from me?
Yeah.
Because I told you half your money.
Yes.
Because I told you not to be an asshole.
Well, Shakira's up to something. She was living in the Bahamas, which is a big tax haven.
That's where they offshore bank accounts and all that, right?
You ever see the famous people's houses in the Bahamas?
No.
It's like a mansion and then third world all around. Like,
well, yeah, dude. I mean, Sal was telling us the story in Hey Babe about how, like, you go to the Bahamas, like a resort in the Bahamas. It's the most inflated prices in the world.
Yeah.
Like a cheeseburger, a beer, and French fries would be like 90 American dollars.
God damn.
Like if that's what it is.
I don't want to go to Bahamas
anymore.
I don't want to go there. Bermuda sounds dope.
Listen, if you really want to be a part of this show and you really want to get behind the scenes, go to patreon.com/ChrisDComedy and go become a Puerto Rican. Over 75 hours of content that does not exist anywhere on YouTube. It doesn't exist on iTunes. It doesn't exist on Spotify. It only lives at patreon.com/ChrisDComedy. That is where we are out of the box. We are unhinged. We are not playing by the rules of an algorithm. We are just being full chaos all the time. It's where some of the best work happens. Patreon.com/ChrisDComedy. Sign up and tell your friends. Yeah.
But wait, so she's on trial right now?
She's about to be.
Yeah, this just all came out today.
I feel like Spanish pop stars are getting in hot water. Her last week was Ricky Martin. Because they said he was in
he fucked his brother
or cousin, nephew or something. But they said it went away
bullshit,
already.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Scroll down a little bit.
Will Smith apologized.
Oh, Will Smith apologized to Chris Rock.
I was watching that video like 10 minutes ago.
You write for Chris Rock.
So fuck Will Smith.
I know.
Yeah, it feels like.
To be honest with you, I swear to God, when I first saw the Will Smith slap on Chris Rock, I was like, yo, Nimesh is writing some edgy shit right now.
I was in the green room at the fucking Addison Improv, a Sunday night show, last show of the 6-show run, and I'm watching the openers on stage. I'm watching the Oscars because I know Chris is about to go up. Like,
yeah.
They said Chris Rock is hosting next. I'm like, all right, this is going to be fucking dope. It's going to be funny. I'm going to go watch this shit. I'm watching this shit. And then this dude slaps him. And I'm like, oh, that's a weird bit that they just did. Like, and then when they went back down and they cut the audio feed and you could still see the visuals and shit, I'm like, oh, that shit was real. Like, man, fuck Will. Who the fuck does that shit?
I know.
Who the fuck? What a bitch ass dude. And I have plenty to say about it. Check my tour out, findingnimesh.com. Please.
There you go.
So what did he say in this video? You watch this? What does he really say?
He's just apologizing profusely. I watched like the first minute and 2 minutes and I was like, this is bullshit.
It's like you think like it's not sincere.
It can't be sincere. Yeah, yeah. And even if it is sincere, like, who fucking gives a shit? Damage is done.
The thing that bothers me is he's sitting here. There's probably ads on this video and his hat is a company he owns a stake in.
It's Westbrook's company?
Yeah. So it's like.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a giant water box next to him. It's
because
box
he knew, because they knew how much millions of views this was getting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
right there.
Yeah, look at that.
There,
water.
I'm not buying box water ever again. Yeah. I'm only buying plastic bottles, polluting the ocean because of you, Will Smith.
Yeah, you fucking piece of shit. But dude, you wrote for Chris Rock.
I wrote for the Oscars.
Michael Che, then your SNL writer.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking brute. I'm telling you, man. That was with two nuts.
Yeah. That's just a mess. I'm unstoppable with one, bro.
Yeah.
You know, I always notice, and this I've been doing, like, who are other people who have had testicular cancer? And like, there's this through line that after cancer, a lot of these dudes just get jacked. And I think it's because we have like this complex, like we feel like less men. So like, I'm going to fucking hit the gym, bro. Yeah. No one's going to fucking stop me. Yeah. And I'm going to the gym after this, man. Yeah. I'm going to the gym every fucking day.
Do you go to the gym in the hotel?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the gym in the hotel. I mean, yesterday I tried to go and it's fucking trash. So I just took a long ass walk.
Well, I was going to say, we had Mateo in bed this morning.
I can feel him.
I know. I know.
I'm going to sleep here tonight.
So it smells like just gay love.
So I shouldn't have been farting this whole time?
I love it. So Mateo said that there's a dope-ass gym in the mall that's connected to this hotel, that and they'll let you in for free or for like $5 if you just bring your Just for Laughs pass.
Oh, really?
He said it's like a real gym like back home. Like he said just walk, go there.
Oh, maybe I'll do that.
It's a 2-minute walk.
Okay. I was going to hit the pool, but I'm also so self-conscious about hitting the pool because at some point, like, that lobby is full and you can see directly into the...
Yeah, yeah.
And they, I don't want to just see people... Just me floating around.
Float around. Just one nut. Yeah. You can never sink to the bottom.
Yeah, it's a flotation device.
Fake nuts like a fucking buoy.
So my backstroke game has improved tremendously.
Well, see, I never want to do it either because people always like, oh, like even yesterday, like, oh, man, you look jacked, you look good. But when I take my shirt off, it just falls apart.
Just titties everywhere.
I like hiding it. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
now, this is, if I lift my shirt, it's all mammal. It's just straight. Like, it'll be a blackout in this room. It's just all hair everywhere. The only thing keeping the hair from falling, like, ruining your bedspread is the shirt.
Are there
right
bodybuilders
now.
In India? I've never.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I worked. Okay. I worked when I hosted the Ultimate Beastmaster. Shout out to Duck Sauce. The team.
Yeah, it's a great bit. Yeah,
the
yeah.
team from India. Their co-host was a girl, Sarah. I'm blanking on her. Sarah Jane Diaz. She's like a big like TV presenter in India. And
she's from Goa, I imagine.
Goa. Yeah. Yep, that's where she's from.
Yeah, yeah.
And her partner was this jacked, like, famous Bollywood actor, Vidyut.
I don't know.
He's huge, like millions of followers. Like, but bro, he looked like almost like Google Ultimate Beastmaster India. Google Ultimate Beastmaster India Vidyut. Vidyut. This guy was phenomenal. Yeah, this guy Vidyut Jamwal. This guy, dude. I mean, would do shit, bro. He's got he did a bit. Like, you know, he's done it in the movies and he proved it. He showed it to us. He had a car. He had rented a car and he rolled down both windows, the driver's side and the passenger side. And then he ran from across the street and jumped through both windows. Like, he put his body. Uh-huh. He does this bit. He does. Look at his amazing car stunt. He jumped through both fucking windows and landed on his feet.
He looks jacked.
So he lived in the mountains of India. He would say where that no electricity, nothing. And him, I believe it was his mother, his father would have him do bodybuilding, muscle building, yoga for like 6 to 10 hours a day every day.
Yeah, I mean,
see, like shit like that.
Parkouring.
Yeah.
But I feel like the whole
Yeah.
The whole physique game is so strong in India because yoga is really just about strength.
Yeah, no. He would, and you know, I would ask him, I would always be like, oh, I want to try to get jacked. And he was like, do yoga.
Yeah.
And he would jump rope. Yeah. Dude, he would jump rope. I've never seen this at all in my life. He would jump rope straight for 2 hours. 120 minutes, he would jump rope.
What a lunatic.
No, bro. So we would be having, like, you know. Like
I got to be honest, we're watching this right now. It doesn't seem that impressive.
I know. It's funny. That's kind of. I was like, yo,
like, I could do that. Yeah. I could do that in a Volkswagen. I know. No problem.
He's hitting his head. Like, yeah. While he's getting it. I'm like, that's not the way I saw you do it.
Yeah, don't do the bloopers, bro.
Yeah. But he's a good guy, man.
Yeah.
But
I mean, when I watch some Bollywood movies and I see these dudes are just straight jacked, I'm like, and I feel the same way about like a lot of American shit. It's just straight up steroids. Like there's no one being like, yeah. Hey man, like maybe don't take drugs. I'm like, no, if I gotta be in a Marvel film and I have 3 months to get in shape, my first phone call is going to whoever your steroid guy is.
we can get that hooked up. That'd be the Vinny Falcone shout out.
I need a shot in my ass.
Patreon.com/ChristyComedy. That's the way to get involved with the show. Patreon.com/ChristyComedy. That's where you can ask questions to the guests. We're going to start zooming in one person a day, one person a show. So we'll get that. We encourage you guys to make funny names. First question is from Graham, G-R-A-E-M-E. He asks, Nimesh, how mad are your parents that you're not a doctor? When did you come out to your parents as a comedian?
They're definitely not mad anymore. They were definitely very upset that I didn't pursue the medical field in my junior year of college when I dropped it. I'll never forget that phone call. It was like I told my mother I died. Like, she's like, yeah. Like my cousin.
She was more upset for that than when you told you had testicular.
Exactly, 100%, 1,000%. Like, if like my cousin's an ER doctor and he tells me like. Whenever he's told the mom a few times that their kid's not gonna make it, and he's like, "Those are the worst towns in the world." That's what I imagined what my mom like went through when I said, "I'm not gonna be a doctor." Like,
yeah, that is a death to her.
It's like this is the dream that I had for my son is now dead.
Yeah.
I think when I started comedy, I couldn't tell my parents I was a comedian until I'd actually made any legit money doing comedy, and that legit money didn't come doing comedy until. I got SNL. Like I had a day job up until 2016. Chris Rock saw me, like 2 weeks after I got rejected from New Faces. Shout out to Fedora Gang, Jeff Singer, who rejected me. who I got the Oscars gig in 2016. But even that was like just one check.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what am I gonna do? And I was like, still looking for work. I got Hassan gave me a job, like writing for him on the Congressional Correspondents Dinner at the time, and like I was bouncing around and shit. And then until May of 2017, until September 2017, that's when I got the fucking SNL job. And I was like, oh, now I have a year of consistent
income.
Right. And then after that, when I got let go from SNL, I was back on the road, like, what the fuck am I going to do? And and then it was like, all right, now I really got to give this shit a go and like find a job or like work and like do stand up. And so I had like a mix of that. And it was only until like the last year and a half where shit has taken off for me career-wise that my parents are like now I'm again like zen about what's going to happen, so they are zen about what's going to happen. So to answer your question, Graham, never. They're mad still that I'm not a doctor because I still don't know what the fuck is going to happen, and I'm only a comedian until for the time being. Who knows, I may fucking drop this whole shit if it don't work out.
All right, here
we go. I could die, you know.
Here we go. Last Patreon question. Let's do the fuck, marry, kill. Fuck, marry, kill. Lorne Michaels, Michael Che, Shane Gillis.
Let's see. Fuck, marry, kill. Shane, Lorne, or Che. All right. Fuck Shane, because I think he got a big ol' ass.
Hell yeah, dude. He's got an ass perfect for one nut.
I got to kill Che because he knows too much. And I got to marry Lorne because, you know, he's got the guap.
Yeah, get that money.
I need that Hamptons house, man.
That's a solid answer. Yo, where can people find you?
Findingnimesh.com. That's NIMESH nimesh.com, findingnimesh.com.
I mean, all your shows are sold out. Is there anyone got tickets left? What city has tickets left?
Well, I've got a few left in Denver. That's the next one coming up. Portland's got a few left. Seattle will be added to the show. First one sold out. Second one's got a few left. Tucson, Arizona, and Brea, California. That's all that's left in August. Please come see me. I need as much money as I can get because I got to go on honeymoon in September, and this shit is looking very pricey.
There you go, my friends. Go find Nimesh. Follow him. Thank you for coming out, brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate Thanks for having me, man.